And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. I was talking with one of my friends in the Brentwood Police Department, Scott Willie, the other day, and he was talking about some of the things that they're seeing in law enforcement, not just in Brentwood and Williamson County, but across Middle Tennessee, that kind of raised my eyebrows on, wow, that, you know, we need to let people know what to be aware of, particularly during this holiday season. You're running around, it's rushed, it's chaos, you know, it gets dark early. So how do you protect your property when you're heading to the mall or you head into a shopping center somewhere? We're seeing an increase in violence and crime in Nashville, and it's bleeding into the, no pun intended, suburban areas. So I thought we'd get Scott on to give us just some tips, some advice on how to keep your head on a swivel in military terms, stay off the X where you're not going to be the target of these folks who are trying to take your stuff or maybe hurt you or your family. And Brentwood Police Officer Scott Willie, a U.S. military veteran, served a couple of terms in Afghanistan, and a great buddy of ours, is on the line with us. And Scott, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Good. Thank you again for what you do on the street. Thank you for what you've done in military service. When we were talking the other day, you were mentioning that again, sometimes I think people think criminals are dumb. They're not very smart. They're very sophisticated most of the time, and they know what they're doing better sometimes than we know what we're doing to protect ourselves. And you mentioned that there are these gangs. I don't mean like in terms of MS-13 gangs, but these groups of guys and gals, women and men, who they'll literally watch a woman, see that she doesn't take her purse out of her car, and they know they can literally break into the window and steal it faster than you even know the window's been broken out.
Yeah, more instead of giving them that much credit of being incredibly intellectual, I would say clever is a good word to use. It's their lifestyle. It's what they do. It's how their morality is based around their activity. But some of the things that we're seeing a lot in our city is an increase in car burglaries, and this is nothing new to Brentwood or to Williamson County. But there are some things that you can do to safeguard yourself from that. First and foremost, view your vehicle as something that is not secure. I mean, it is. I always, in my mind, when I'm leaving my vehicle, whether it's locked or unlocked, anything that I leave in my car, I view that item or items as, will I cry over this if it's stolen, basically. So you never want to leave any items of high value in your vehicle. But you're absolutely right. Kind of what you were referencing as far as the quote gang that you're talking about is really it's more of a tactic, and it originated in Florida. And basically, these folks they prey upon on people who leave purses and other valuables in the vehicle, and they will watch for hours. I mean, that's what they do. They'll come all across the southeastern United States. They'll watch people getting out of areas like the YMCA or parks or anywhere where there's going to be a large population of people that are going to leave their vehicles, and so. When you have a large group of people in a parking area or anything else like that, things to look out for are folks that are backed into parking spots that are watching, because the tactic is simply once they see a female, especially, get out of a vehicle without a purse, that's like a green light to them. They're going to pull up right next to that car. We've watched security footage of people breaking windows of vehicles with other people, you know, not even 10 feet away. So I talked to a lot of victims. They're like, man, I was right there. I had the car in sight. You know, I thought everything was good. But these folks are good at what they do. They're clever.
And even if you say, oh, I'm going to put my purse in the trunk, they're watching that. Again, they can break in the window, pop the trunk, and they've got it just as easily.
Yeah. We all do it. When you pull up to a parking spot, especially, I mean, my wife does it too. If you start moving stuff around and stuffing things, you know, underneath seats and everything else like that, they're going to be watching that. And that's the thing, is that they've been doing this for, I mean, months, if not years. So they're going to be watching to see the behavior that would indicate to them that somebody is trying to store valuables in some location of the vehicle. And so that's a big problem. I wouldn't say that that's every car burglar, but those are definitely the ones that are out there preying on the people in Middle Tennessee. That's something that that, you know, you can really easily avoid by taking your valuables with you, by making sure that, you know, things that you would typically carry on you, you just leave at home, such as, like, you know, expensive jewelry or things like laptops or anything else like that. Don't leave that stuff in your car. It's really just kind of a common sense way of keeping your stuff that's of value out of that vehicle, because you got to recognize that vehicle is not a secure location.
And even if you're shopping and buying stuff, don't leave it like where it's visible in the in the front seats. Putting it in the trunk at least makes it a little less, hey, here's take my stuff. And as people are going to the malls this time of the year, and it's hectic and it's crazy and it's dark, again, at, you know, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it seems like. What else should people be aware of, Scott? It's just kind of, you know, as they look around to keep themselves and their stuff safe.
Yeah, that's a great question. So as far as when you're looking around, you want to be aware of your surroundings. You use the term head on a swivel when you're introducing me, and that is a military term, but basically what you want to be doing is doing a 360-degree scan as you're walking. You want to scan 5 yards in to 25 yards out, and there's an instructor that I once heard that said, awareness buys time and time buys opportunity. So it doesn't matter if, you know, if you're armed like Rambo and you're walking through the parking lot, if you can't see the threat before you've made the decision to act, then it does you no good. So you need to get your head out of your cell phone. You need to be aware of your surroundings. That's just good general prudence. That's not even something, you know, that we would convey in the tactical world, you know, quote unquote tactical world. That's just something that it's wise. I mean, you want to have your head out of your phone when you're walking into a store because you don't want to get hit by a car. But
I like that out of your phone, because I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that one, Scott. One of the things that I know the military has actually spent some time trying to research is sometimes your instincts are picking up stuff you don't even know that you're seeing. Yeah. They I know that they've actually done research on some commanders in Afghanistan and Iraq. They'd say, no, we're not going down that alley. It doesn't feel right to me. And they're trying to figure out what were they sensing? The birds were less quiet. There weren't kids playing. Whatever it was, the hair on the back of their neck was up, and they trusted those instincts. The same thing's true. If it feels uncomfortable as you're walking out to your car, listen to what you're seeing or observing, even if you don't know you're observing it.
Yeah, and you know that's a great point. I believe I haven't read the whole book. I've read bits and pieces of it, but Gavin DeBecker's Gift of Fear is a good book for your listeners. But he really talks about that, the instincts that victims had. He interviewed a lot of victims that said, "Man, I just had this gut feeling." And really, the Gift of Fear is it's a God-given instinct that we should really pay attention to. When you see something that doesn't look right, chances are it's not right. And honestly, that scan that, you know, 5 yards in, 25 yards out, as you're walking through a parking lot, you'll find that you'll lock eyes with somebody who's watching, who's sitting in a car or who's sitting on the side of a street, on the side of a building, and they're watching you. And as soon as you make eye contact with that person, a lot of times in our culture, it's kind of taboo not to, you know, just look away real quick or whatever. But you'll find that if you watch them, their eyes will give them away. You know, their intentions will be made known as far as their eyes. And a lot of times, protecting yourself from a threat can be as simply as seeing the threat prior to the ambush and spoiling the ambush for the attacker.
Yeah, they're looking for the easy target, and if you know they're there, you're less of an easy target, and they'll go find somebody else that's easier to rob, to grab the purse or anything like that. What about at home? I mean, right now, again, they're leaving for the holidays. I mean, do you leave every light on? Do you leave a couple of lights on? I mean, the on and off stuff. What do you do to protect your home, if you're home or away?
Yeah, so what I advise people as far as protecting your home is to have a plan that is layered. You want to defensively layer your home. And so there's many different things that you can do to create these so-called layers. The biggest thing that helps us from a law enforcement perspective when we're responding to home burglaries during the holidays is if you have a video camera system that records, that is, and I'm not downplaying alarms, but that is way, way more valuable from an investigative standpoint than a burglar alarm, because the video camera, that's going to get your stuff back. I mean, if all your jewelry is taken and you know you've got suspects that are selling it in pawn shops or something else like that, that's how we're going to identify people. That's how we're going to figure out how to solve the case. So having a good video system at your home is, and right now it's easier than ever because you can go on Amazon, you can buy home video surveillance systems and hook it to your Wi-Fi. Don't have to run cable or anything else like that. But other layers would include, you know, having motion detecting lights outside, keeping lights on a timer, having a neighbor, if you don't have that, having a neighbor come by and check things out when you're out of town.
Hey, Scott, we're going to have to take a quick break. Have you got time to hang on for a couple of minutes for another quick segment?
Yeah, of course.
Hang on. Scott Willie is with us from Brentwood Police Department, a military veteran, and just sharing some tips of how to protect yourselves personally, protect your stuff both at home and when you're outside. Also, Scott has a business that also does some work on training you to use your weapons. Not just, you know, you go get your carry permit. Well, you're shooting at a target 10 feet away. That doesn't mean you're prepared for if and when you ever need to use your weapon. We'll talk a little bit about if you've got a concealed carry permit, are you really prepared for the worst case scenario? We'll talk about that more with Scott Willie, Brentwood Police. If you have questions, 615-737-9522. And we'll be back in a moment. And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. As always, go to TennesseeStar.com. That's TennesseeStar.com on the web. Also, Tennessee Star on Facebook, where you'll find links to some of the stories that we're talking about today. We're talking in this segment, we're carrying on with Scott Willie, who's a Brentwood police officer, former infantry officer with the U.S. Army, served a few tours in Afghanistan and elsewhere. And Scott, we really appreciate your insights this morning on both our personal safety, protecting our property at home, and when we're traveling around. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about one of your businesses is to train people in the use of their weapons if they have a carry permit. And in Tennessee, obviously, you can have a carry permit that allows you to either carry concealed or openly. My own thought has been that I want to carry concealed because if you're carrying openly, if a bad guy does come in, I'm going to shoot the people with the guns first. I don't want them to know I have one. Am I right on that, or is it better to carry openly?
Yeah, I think you'll – not only is it a tactically smart move to carry concealed, it is also – it's going to save you a lot of grief. I mean, in our day and age, and it's not as prevalent as in the South, and especially in Tennessee, where folks are somewhat used to others being armed around them, citizens being armed around them. But especially if you go up north, you're going to draw a lot of unnecessary attention to yourself. You're really going to have a lot of grief because folks are going to be calling the police because they're uncomfortable with the weapon being displayed. And you're absolutely right. It is it definitely paints you as a target. If you think of criminals as opportunists, in your last segment, you were talking about they're not looking for a fight necessarily. They're looking for victims. The same thing is true with whoever is armed around them. If they have any resistance, if they find that they can seize the opportunity of defeating anyone who would potentially thwart their crime prior to actually being engaged, they're going to actually target the person who's armed. So
I have noticed that, you know, carrying that saw with the bandolier like Rambo does get me some strange looks when I go to Costco. So maybe I should you know, leave that at home. We talked the other day that if you do carry, you need to have access to your weapon. That again, you know, we were talking about my wife and others that, you know, if it's buried in your purse, if and when, and hopefully you never would need it, but if and when you would ever need your weapon, you got to be able to get to it. And that's true for guys and girls.
Yeah, that's one thing is keeping your tools on you. You know, a lot of people they look at firearms and you know they may be uncomfortable with it. But I always tell my students that it's kind of like power tools. If you're uncomfortable around a miter saw, then someone needs to show you how to use it. And so with the firearms, if it's not within arm's reach or preferably on you, it might as well be a million miles away, because there's no way that you're going to, you know, once you hear the bump of the night, run down into the basement, get it out of the safe, and then come back up and investigate while armed. So keeping your tools on you is critical. Making sure that you carry on your person is something that I would always advocate for. Make sure that you have it on you. You wouldn't believe the number of carry permit holders that I pull over and they say, "Officer, I just want to let you know I got my carry permit, but I'm not armed." And the first question I ask them is, "Well, why not?" Sometimes they give me a funny look and ask them if they buckled up when they got in the car. I'm like, "Yeah, that's the law." And I said, "Well, did you expect to get into a car accident?" And they say, "Well, no." "Well, then why'd you do it?" "Well, just in case." "Well, yeah, same point with a gun, just in case."
And be practiced at being able to pull it and to how to use it and to kind of know the practice. Now, you actually do classes on not just getting your carry permit, but how you would act in a circumstance if you ever needed it, that there's a difference in shooting to get your carry permit and in an active shooter situation where you're in a more combat role.
Sure, yeah. And Steve, what you're describing is the difference between shooting and learning how to fight with a firearm. And that difference is huge. And really, that starts with what is commonly referred to in the industry as mindset. I characterize it as will within my curriculum. And that's the willingness to be able to fight and the tactics that actually that you would learn as part of that mindset. That's something I think if you can have all the gear, you can have skills, you can have all these tools at your disposal, but if you don't have the right mindset and somebody hasn't taught you the legal and moral parameters that you need to know to defend yourself, then you're unprepared for the fight.
By the way, what's the name of the website and the company? If folks want to get some training, want to get some more information about it, how do they reach you on that?
Yeah, we just started this thing. It's called Paladin Power Tactics. You can find us on Facebook, but it's really a small thing that I'm kind of doing on the side. I want to spend as much time with my girls, my family, as I possibly can. I've got three daughters and want to devote as much time as I can to them. So I really intentionally try to keep the reins on it, but I would love to have anybody come out and train with me. But you can find me on Facebook, Paladin Tower Tactics, and
we'll put a link on Tennessee Star on Facebook as well, so folks can find you. And just knowing Scott a little bit, I suspect your daughters are already capable of hurting somebody with a straw from 30 yards. Just not saying that they're tough. I'm just saying they will be. Don't try to date them till they're at least 30.
Absolutely, yeah.
Scott, what about other ways to defend yourself? If you don't want to, if somebody doesn't feel comfortable carrying a firearm, what about the pepper spray? I mean, again, if you're walking out after you've left the mall, it doesn't do you any good if it's buried deep in your purse.
Yeah, that's a good question. Your tools, whatever you use, and really, it's not the tool that's important. It's the person who's willing to use it and who has planned to use it and trained to use it, preferably. So if it is the mace, if that's all you have access to, you live in a state or somewhere else that you can't carry a firearm, then having that on you as you're walking out, one thing that I advocate for is, number one, if you're carrying a firearm for protection, you ought to be carrying a flashlight. And so when you're walking out of a store, what we would characterize as transitional spaces, you know, whether that's at a gas station or coming out of a store to your car or something else like that, that's where you're most vulnerable. You want to be carrying that flashlight in your hand as you're walking into a dark area. It's kind of become habit for me. As soon as I get out, whether I'm coming home and, you know, checking the mail or something else like that, and it's dark, I have my flashlight in my hand because you want to be able to see fast. And part of shooting fast is seeing fast. And also identifying that threat, but keeping that mace in your hands as you're walking, or maybe having your hand on it in your purse, that's going to save you time, and that really kind of goes back to the discussion about awareness.
Last question: what can we as citizens do to help help the police officers? And if we get pulled over, I know you're supposed to keep your hands visible. Don't be digging around under the seat, that kind of stuff. What can we do to help make your all's jobs easier?
Yeah, I welcome folks who carry and absolutely love it when they say, hey, I've got my gun on me and all that. The biggest thing is making sure that that your hands are in plain sight. So what I tell folks to do is put one, like if you're right-hand or whatever, or put one your right hand on the steering wheel, and you know when you roll down the window for the officer on his first approach, put that left hand up there on that windowsill. That way we can see your hands there in plain sight. You can inform the officer. This is, I believe, last time I checked, Tennessee is not a state where you have to declare that you are armed. But I just assume that everyone that I talk to is carrying, and that's me personally. And so when we're coming up there, really the biggest thing that would help us is making sure your hands are in plain sight, that you're not digging around for your wallet or anything else like that.
Turning on the internal lights, does that help, or does that make it harder for you all to see?
No, that helps a lot, especially if you have dark tinted windows. Go ahead, turn all the dome lights on, roll down all the windows. When I get pulled over, which hasn't happened often, but the few times that I have been pulled over, I will make sure that I have all four windows rolled down, and I'll have the dome lights on. I personally like to have my badge up and out. Obviously, if you're an off-duty officer, you want to be careful with how you're holding your badge and things like that. But I keep it up there with the steering wheel with my right hand, and I just have it laid out in the palm of my hand when an officer approaches me. You can do the same thing with your carry permit if you want. You don't have to do that. But the biggest thing.
But it lets them know that at least you've been vetted by somebody at some point that may lower the threshold of potential conflict. Scott Willie, thank you so much. Thank you for what you and your fellow officers do. Thank you for your service to our country as well. And thank you for your tips today. And we'll catch up again soon. You guys have a great Christmas holiday with those girls.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Scott. Merry Christmas. We'll be back in a moment with more of the Tennessee Star Report, 615-737-9522. We'll be back in a moment.